Welcome to 321 Go the podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish.
Welcome to 321 Go the chat episode, giving you more episodes to love this year with standalone chats.
Yeah, sometimes our chats that started off intending to be like 8 minutes would end up like 30 minutes. So we thought, why don't we just let you listen to them alone and hear our nonsense all on its own. And for this one, it has been too long since Johnny and I have had a chat. So what will we talk about? Even we don't know. Let's do this.
No idea. Chat. We've come up with some possible topics, and I think this is in a pretty good order. So let's start with the Olympics. I think we would all agree, Carissa. Now you got to go to the Olympics, but the Paris Olympics were a huge success.
They're a huge success. And I do want to say right now, Paris Paralympics opening ceremonies just happened. Brian Seaman is out there, who's been on the podcast. He has been fourth many, many times in the Olympics. So I am sending all of my good energy that we will have him back on, and he will have been an Olympic medalist. He's got a couple events to do it in, so you guys follow along with his journey there. But the Olympics were amazing. It really did bring us all together. You know, I'm not like a USA type person, you know, normally, but over there, man, you're the most patriotic human in the world when you get to the Olympics and you're surrounded by countries of the world. And that was the other sweet thing that we saw there, John, is that there'd be countries, you know, we're going to track. We're in competitive in nearly every single event, right? There was very few finals. There was not an American, right? Like the women's javelin. That's the only one we saw. But then there'd be races where there was like one standout athlete from India, say the men's javelin. And it would be so heartwarming to see the people from India that had traveled all that way truly for this one moment to have their flags. And so being there in person and even just seeing the culture of it around was great.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is, you know, again, and the patriotism, to your point, does kick up. And you obviously cheer for the USA athletes. But when a country hasn't won a medal or at all in an event, or hasn't won a medal, you know, in 60 years in an event, that's always one of my favorite things about watching the Olympics. But kudos to NBC. I think they did a great job covering it, and I miss it already. All right. Olympics are very important, Carissa.
Super important.
But more importantly for you, though, T. Swift in London. Talk about that experience, because it looked like insanely fun.
So it's so much time. This has been like over a year in process, like knowing we were going. So it was like this big, big buildup. Shout out to Sarah Akers. She actually sat with us. We had some friends that couldn't go. So Sarah Akers helped travel plan and get all that good stuff going. I saw a meme on Instagram that kind of describes it. It's a video of this guy like sobbing, and it's like me crying when Taylor Swift comes out to the concert of Taylor Swift that I paid to go to. Like that you're crying that she's there, like, oh my God, of course she's there. You paid all this money for this concert, you dumb. But it was in Wembley Stadium, which was extremely cool. I will say that getting there was a little bit, it took a while. London mm-hmm. is not easy to traverse. Like there were times where we could bike somewhere faster than we could take the tube. Like
yeah.
It was just, and traffic to get across London was horrific. So just, you know, logistics stressed me out sometimes. So what we got there in enough time to see half a Paramore. We were up in the second level, so we had pretty good seats, far away from the stage, but like a good view. And it was just really cool to be in the environment, seeing yeah. the moms and kids together, like all that kind of stuff. And for me, the highlight was I wanted a special guest. I thought Ed Sheeran was a possibility. We were the last night, and Ed Sheeran came in the first night. So I was a little bit bummed. But then I also was like, well, Florence and the Machine lives in London, so I want Florence. And then there's a song called So Long London that is actually a very sad song about her long breakup. I could be wrong about this. In my mind, it's about her breakup with Joe, who lived in London. It has a lot of like duality in the So Long London, and I've loved you for So Long London, then I'm saying So Long London. And I was like, well, that has to be her surprise song on the last night of London. So those were the things I wanted. So we did get So Long London, and I don't want to say I was let down, but her singing it was like so sad that it like made me sad. Like you could tell it's like a song that she didn't intend to perform. It's not a happy song. Right. Like it is a song about a breakup. But I'm singing it because it's the last night of London. The best part of the concert, John, I lost my mind. Nowadays, when you go to a concert, you probably don't do this, but with Taylor Swift, I know the order of the song she's singing. I've seen it on TV. She added in stuff for the Tortured Poets department, but we all know what song comes in what order. We know what song she's performing. It doesn't take away the excitement. We just know after this song is this song. So she's doing the Tortured Poets set, and she starts singing Florida, which is not in the Tortured Poets set. So I was thinking that when I go see her in Miami in October, maybe I would hear Florida then. So I start freaking out because I'm like, she's not supposed to be singing this. She's not supposed to be singing this. So I'm like freaking out of like, she's singing Florida. So then Sarah's standing next to me and I'm just freaking out. And Sarah's like, there's a hole in the floor. And I'm like, what? And so the floor, there's a hole in the floor. Florence and the Machine is on Florida. So Florence and the Machine comes out and sings Florida. And I like was not over that for like a solid 24 hours. Just like the excitement. Do you know what I mean? Like the surprise. And I love Florence. And I'm just going to say Florence. Taylor is lyrically gifted, but Florence is very vocally gifted. Also She's lyrically amazing. Gifted. I adore Florence and the Machine. I saw her in Boston maybe 5 years ago. I just say that to be like, I'm an OG Florence fan. I'm not like a... Yep. She sings with Taylor. I like her. So that was really, really exciting. I'm excited, more excited now to take Claire just to see. I want to see Claire's reaction to this.
Right.
To this. It is a spectacle, you know.
Sure. That's the thing about with the when you say the songs in a certain row, it's such a produced show.
Yeah.
That the downside of a well-produced show like that is that it's more difficult to move the set list around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that takes people, you know, people have to understand with lighting cues and everything that stage brought, you know. And I watched it on Disney Plus and a couple of times, enjoyed it immensely. It's difficult to slot those things in, so kudos to T Swift for working that one up for London.
And well, it seems like Florida, the song, was very well choreographed, so it seems like that's going to become a permanent part in it moving forward, because there were dances and there was like levels, and her and Florence had to have rehearsed plenty because they both get on a platform that then raises up. And it's on my Instagram if you want to hear me screaming like a crazy person in the background.
I've seen it.
And then there were other people that took actually higher quality videos. But that was the view I got. We also went to a Christmas pop-up speakeasy in London, which, of course, I enjoyed immensely. It's very small. I think it would hold like 8 people. And so you had an hour and a half in there. All the Christmas decor. It was a very nostalgic-y, like 60s vibe, which I resonate with like that era of Christmas.
Swing in London.
Yeah, I like that. And then Wes and I just played a board game. We played Scrabble, had our Christmas themed cocktails. However, there was only one S in the entire Scrabble board. So I think that it was not the accurate letters. And so we struggled. S's are important because you can add it to the word and then you can go this way. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
A lot of I's and E's. So it was not our best Scrabble ever.
Yeah, you can pick up an extra couple points just by pluralizing something. So, the S's. I love it. But maybe a Scrabble tournament, which after each game, you remove another letter. Maybe that needs to be like some sort of Scrabble tournament. Somebody put that together and give me attribution.
You can announce it. And the letter that will be leaving now is S.
As I morph from outdoor, very active announcing jobs at my advanced age, now moving on to Scrabble, maybe pudding making, discussions about favorite Matlock episodes, things that a man my age should really be talking about.
Perry Mason, big, big hit in that age group.
I love Perry Mason.
See? So do the Galloways.
Fair enough.
So Johnny, it's been a while since we've had a chat. You were in Europe. You were doing a garage door opener. We had a back injury. Where are we? How are we on the recovery there?
Yeah, it took a few days. I mentioned it before. I've fallen once and did like a slightly herniated disc in my back. I don't have back problems compared to a lot of people, so I don't want to make it seem like more than it is, but I do have to pay attention to it from time to time. And the thing is, I pay attention to it when I'm doing things that seem like they could injure your back. When I really hurt it, though, is when I'm, and this is what happened, when I was getting up from being on the floor of my garage, putting in my garage door opener, which works great, by the way, and I did finally get it
Good.
in. But I threw my back out about as badly as I ever have, to the point where for day one, my wife had to help me get around. Day two, I had to like lean on furniture in my house to get around, and it got better after a while. But my garage door opener thing, which should have taken a couple days, ended up taking over a week because I had to take, I think, 5 days off of doing it. So the back is better. But anybody young listening to this podcast, take care of your back. Because it's the thing as you get older that you're going to find does not appreciate those days of like tackle football with your friends without pads in the yard when you're 7 years old. You're going to pay a price for it, folks. You're going to
Well,
pay a price.
I will say I never really understood what the term throwing your back out like meant. Like, 'cause I hadn't experienced it. And then I think it was like 3 years ago, I went to pick Elliot up out of a, we had like a garden tub, and I
Yeah.
just straight back picked him up, and it was an instant like, ow. And then
Yeah,
it was like a
that's what it
couple
is.
days before it, like, it wasn't a just, you know, I went to the chiropractor and it was just like, no, this is just the muscles kind of just like, it's like a, must be a protective mechanism for the spine.
Yeah, possibly. And that's what happens to me. And again, it's one it's I immediately when you've done
Yeah.
it, and sometimes it will adjust itself quickly. This one felt like no, Johnny needs a few days off. So Johnny took a few days
Yeah,
off.
no, I just never understood that term, and I just thought people were being like
No, that's
what's
very
the word?
real.
A wimp, right? But it like, and I, it was, mine wasn't that bad, but I'd never experienced like a, oh, and now I do try to be better about like the bent knee pickup, right? And I know yours was getting up, but like lift with your legs.
Yeah, and like I said, I really, really pay attention to that sort of thing. But my back is such that when I injure it, it's some just stepping wrong down on
Yeah.
something and twisting it in certain direction, and I never know. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, speaking of a gift, as we're taping this, it is the eve of Labor Day weekend. You are about to get a gift back into your life, John. College football
So
is
excited.
back. Is it better than Christmas for you? I think 100%.
Oh, it is better than Christmas. There is nothing I enjoy more than college football, and it's already off to a
Oh,
rousingly exciting
please
start.
stop. I know where you're going. I don't want to go there.
After a
Johnny,
fabulous game. First of all, I'm
how?
of Irish heritage, so I love when they play a game over in
But
Ireland.
why?
And then for my alma mater, and I say alma mater because of college I attended without benefit of graduation, having one of your rivals lose when they are a big favorite is awfully exciting. And I watched the whole Georgia Tech Florida State game. I was doing some putting a door on one of our closets that had come off. And first of all, what a great game. Kudos to Georgia Tech. It's always great to watch Florida State lose. But the exciting part about it for you, Chris, and the rest of the Florida State fans, with the 12-team playoff, Florida State is now not out of it. Previously, lose a game. You could maybe
You
lose a
want to
game
lose
early
early
and
in
you'd
the
be
season.
okay. But now, with the 12-team playoff, if Florida State wins the ACC, and that's certainly a possibility for them, then they can claw their way back into it. And here's the good thing, Carissa, for you, it makes those regular season games now much more important than if you were, if you'd have just beaten up on Georgia Tech. But kudos to the Ramblin' Wreck. And I know you got your in-laws live up there in Georgia. And we were recently, when we were up for Galloway weekend, got to drive by Georgia Tech. They pushed the Noles around physically, which I don't think anybody expected. So Mike Norvell going to have to go
Yeah.
back to the table and figure out what happened there. But hell of a way to start the college football season. This weekend, Riley Claremont and I shall be texting angrily between one another because his Miami Hurricanes are playing my Florida Gators. They're ranked. We're not. Fingers crossed that we can pull off the upset like Georgia Tech.
Well, I will be rooting for you because I don't have Gator hate. I have hurricane hate. So I greatly despise the Hurricane. So I didn't watch the Florida State game because it was in the middle of Ironman Canada, and I think I might have been
Unbelievable
like
game.
asleep or something. Like, the level of shock I described at Taylor Swift was also the level of shock of like me waking up and Weston, the text was just like, well, Florida State's season is over. And I was like, no, but what? So you, it was just, so I didn't watch, obviously. So my TV did not work in Canada at all. And I had to buy a VPN so I could even get a US, like whatever this is called, you know, you have to buy a VPN to get something so I could watch Netflix in Canada. So I couldn't even watch previews. Jesus, I need to go to bed, whatever it's called. But so it was just the physicality. Like, were they terrible? Am I worried for the rest of the season? Like, they just weren't prepared. Here's the travel.
The one thing that would worry me. The one thing that would worry me is the physicality. Now, Georgia Tech is one of those teams that they seem to be able to pull these things off. They generally run an offense that you don't practice against a lot for a long time. They were a triple option team. They're not quite that now. Their quarterback has experience in that system, and his name escapes me right now, and it should, because he played an amazing, amazing football game. Also, with FSU, the transfer portal is a great thing, and you can pick up players. Mm-hmm. The problem is that your players haven't played together for as long, and there's something to be said for continuity in the system. And I think what they were working themselves through is the fact that they hadn't been playing together that long, and they haven't really gelled, so there seemed to be a little bit of hesitation for them. And I think they'll be fine, but I would worry a little about them allowing Georgia Tech to push them around, because the level of athlete you get at Florida State shouldn't have that. Shouldn't have that.
Fine's
That'd be
not
a little
good
worrying.
Enough, John. Fine is not good enough. I'm so tired of Florida State not being good. They were so bad for so long.
Well, you were good last year.
We were not good enough. We were told by the college football gods that we were not good enough.
Well, they determined 12-team playoff, plenty of chances to get in. You're going to lose. It's still better to lose early.
It is. Bama always loses early, so. How many listeners have we lost with this lengthy college football discussion? Like, they were listening at the end of their run, and they were like, I don't want to hear about college football.
Yeah. So we'll move on. We'll move on for that.
Okay. Which we should move on to something more comfortable for them. My marathon training.
How's that going?
So.
Here's the thing.
I would like to not run a marathon anymore. I just don't want to. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm guessing that's how a lot of you guys feel sometimes. But you guys like have to show up. It's Disney. You've spent a lot of money. I don't have to drive over to Space Coast. I spent like $92. However, do you know why I have to do this flipping marathon? It's not because of the podcast. It's not because I said I was doing it. It's because my mother-in-law is doing it too. And if she goes and does it and I don't do it, she's going to think she's better than me.
Wow. And that's okay. Why. We're taking care of all family business here.
Well done. You know what they did? You know how I always talk about family business? They drank all my coffee creamer while they were watching Elliot. They were kindly watching our son for like 10 days, which is amazing. But then I went to make coffee, John, and what was there not?
Creamer.
How do you think that made me feel?
I know it would make me, really angry.
Like, it's just, and to anyone that this is my rule. If you're at someone else's house, I've finished the last of something. I've either put it on a list. It doesn't matter who you are. That's my pet peeve. That was my irritation with it.
And you know, even if you're that annoying person that just leaves enough for like one cup in the creamer, you got to leave some, or you have to replace it.
You're out of this. Then, because we went to the store that day, the day before, I didn't know because it wasn't the morning. I'd had a red eye anyway. So no, I don't want to run a marathon. Marathon training is hard. It's annoying. I have to run 20 miles tomorrow. It's a Friday. I've been out of town for essentially the entire month of August. I have things I have to do. I can't do them because it's the only day I can go run 20 miles, which will take me maybe 4+ hours. It's 100 degrees outside. It doesn't get light until 6 something, but I probably need to start at 5 something, but I don't want to run in the dark. How much more should I complain about it? Should I continue?
Listen, I arrived at the location you find yourself at long ago, so you don't have to for me at all. You had me at I don't want to run a .. insert any distance, let alone 26.2.
No, and it's very hard for me to get in long runs. Like, I'm talking about doing it on a Friday because of racing, of I'm leaving for Disneyland on Tuesday and I won't come back from Disneyland until the next Monday. It's just hard to get in these long runs that take 3-4 hours.
Sure.
And usually it's like, you've got to be pretty well hydrated. You've got to get your carbohydrates. Like, it's not just easy to roll out and go 20 miles. So when we were in Cape Cod, I announced the kids races and I was going to do 18 miles in London. And it was like 67 degrees and like 1 in the afternoon. And I was like, I really think I should just go run 18 right now. And I was like, that's a crazy idea. And I was like, I have nothing to do the rest of the day. I'm just going to go do it. So like on not on like not a dinner the night, no proper nutrition, but because it was so cold, it was fine.
Yeah.
I go, you know, you go to your mailbox here and you're not fine.
No.
Like you're not well.
No. Nope.
So I'm concerned for myself tomorrow, but Chris Twiggs told me in no uncertain terms that I just have to do it and there's no way around it. I cannot wait till later. I cannot push it off and I'll just have to do it. And that's that.
All right. Well, I'll be here lounging about. And
I know.
Actually, we're replacing some of our floor in the bathroom. So I'll be dealing with that, which is maybe not as physically demanding, but emotionally.
Always go wrong with that kind of stuff. At least I know when I'm done. I know 20 yeah. miles and I'm done. You don't know what's going to go wrong, what you're going to screw up. And I'm not saying you, just you always do something wrong when you're doing home repairs.
Oh, of course. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hopefully I don't throw out my back. I'm being much more careful getting up and down because apparently now that's become, at the top of the list of things that are too physically demanding for Johnny, getting up and down.
Well, so we'll have to get you one of those little for the stage. If we have contracts, folks, we still don't have them. So this podcast may just be about something totally different next year. One of those little seats that like brings you up the stairs.
Johnny's not proud. Johnny's
and
not proud.
My co-host, John Pelkey. Wait for it. Camera
and
pans
it takes
over.
It takes an inordinately long period of time.
And I like don't say anything. I just stand there with my hand out smiling. And it just says John Pelkey like on the chyron, but like you're not there yet.
No, and just as they have the camera set so that just then my head like makes its way in and then the rest of my body, I just sort of rise.
And then someone has to like lift you off and then set you down. It's like a very dramatic. All right. Before we move on to Healthier You, let's talk about I want to know what snacks you're going to eat this weekend when you watch college football.
Well, I got some stuff yesterday. My wife said, it would be because we had some fresh avocado that our neighbor gave us. Ooh. So she's like, let's do nachos. Mm. So I, you know, somewhat healthier nachos. I would use ground turkey. I use Greek yogurt instead of sour cream on them. I guess the cheese is really the only thing that's like horrible.
Still, think about how much less cheese you put on nachos than pizza.
It's a good point. It's a good, well.
No, there's no way you put the same amount on pizza. Pizza's like a thick coat, and a nacho is like a covering.
It's true. It's
true. Like a pizza is a cheese blizzard, and nachos are cheese flurries.
Okay, fair enough.
There you go.
Fair enough. So there'll be nachos. My friends who were dog sitting for us when we were in Europe left some microwave popcorn, which I never eat. But, popcorn's one of those things, if you say it, you're like, or you smell it, you're like, popcorn would be good.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be it. Shout out to the Disney Day Drinkers. Their D3 Binney's Brew beer might have a cup, might have to, depending on the Florida performance against Miami, may have to take a few moments with an adult beverage. But for the most part, just going to be me sitting there just happy that it's returned. Really, really the small amount of joy that I have in my life is added to. During college football season and pro football season coming up. So
I know
football from now until March, frankly.
I believe as we're taping this, maybe Wake Forest plays tonight.
Do they play? Do they really?
Wesson, is that accurate? That is. So we said we have, once we've had kids, watched significantly less football. Just even having it on. So we said, I think Elliot's old enough. When he was little, he couldn't have the TV on and it not be on something for him. So I think we are going to put it on tonight and just kind of start to just immerse him. Like, this is a normal, I mean, maybe this isn't normal, but I think it's a normal thing in the fall that like the TV's just on with football. You're not always sitting down watching it, but like, you know, Sundays it's on, Saturdays it's on.
Yeah.
We walk by, if the game's great, we'll kind of huddle in. That's what I want for him. I'm normalizing football for my son and maybe he'll understand it. But we did also last night, Claire, we believe is going to do level 6 gymnastics, which is a really big promotion for her. And that means she'll be optional. Well, she'll have her individual floor music. So we were listening to some of the ones she likes last night. And we realized that Elliot may be more musically inclined currently than sports. His musicality and his dance, they're very, very impressive.
Good. Well, hell, you know, I'm... I sort of have a background in both things, so either way,
yeah,
I'm
so we
really, really good
some...
with it. By the way, you're probably going to be watching that game on the computer because it's only on. You're playing North Carolina A&T, the Mighty Demon Deacons of Wake Forest, and it's only on ESPN Plus and ACC Extra.
We could probably find it on like then one of the apps, right? The smart TVs, they have apps. Hopefully, find it, babe. It's not on normal TV. That's how good Wake Forest is perceived to be. So I guess maybe I won't be.
There are a bunch of games tonight, though. So thank you for reminding me it starts on Thursday.
You
I'm very excited about
are
that.
Welcome. And that's the chat.
All right. Good chatting with you again.
We are always aiming to get you to that next finish line, and we've created an exciting opportunity for you guys coming up with Galloway Customized Training. Check the show notes for more information on how to sign up, and here's Chris with a little more about Customized.
Hi, I'm Chris Twiggs, Chief Training Officer at Galloway Training Programs and coach of Galloway Customized Training. When Jeff Galloway and I put together Customized Training, our goal was to offer the best value in professional coaching for runners and walkers. Starting from a questionnaire to determine your current fitness, goals, and commitments to family and work, I build a schedule that's perfect for you, but it doesn't end there. Each week, with your feedback, I adjust your plan to help you reach your goals, and I introduce you to a worldwide family of customized runners and walkers who are cheering you on. I look forward to working with you and to being your coach and your biggest fan as we run, walk, run with Galloway Customized Training.
All right, athletes, here's the drill. Time to shape up your diet. Harissa, give them the goods.
Well, we can't chat about snacks, John, if I don't tell you what you're doing wrong with your diet. So I'm just kidding.
Where would we start? I
did have something written out about what we were going to talk about with supplements, but I will talk a little bit about how to look at snacking or like game day, right? Because there's just a few tweaks that I recommend people make that I think are reasonable and logical. It is making sure that you put out like a veggie tray. And I know you like your charcuterie, but I would put out the carrot sticks, the celery sticks, the peppers first, maybe like with the nachos. Because what I find is people will still eat a significant amount of them if they're offered singularly and in the beginning. So if you're having people over, like start with that. Like with kids, when they come home from school, have that out there. Because this is what I want you to do. I want you to fill up on vegetables and have less room for like 100 buffalo wings. And then just alternate water with your drinks, y'all. Just saying. Especially if you got 20 milers coming up. Just make sure you do that. But what I wanted to talk about today is supplements. Are they necessary? Do we need them? John, do you take any supplements?
Other than the pillar, that magnesium that I take to go to bed, I do not consistently, though I really, really need to address that because I think it would be important for me in my advanced age to maybe add some probiotics into my
So what's interesting is there's not like a way to know. Like you can tell me what you eat and I can put in a calculator and say you're not eating enough carbs. You're not eating enough, you know, whatever. I can take the micronutrients and analyze them, but it's much more difficult. It's also difficult to know how much are you absorbing? What is your body deficient in? So there's very expensive testing you can do, blood work, to show you where you're deficient in, but that's not approachable for all people. So I do think it's important as we age, and I have a note on here, I've used the word biological age, to think about certain supplements that support, you know, cell turnover, that support healthy cells, that support total body recovery. And so that would be our antioxidants, but omega-3s. Because especially for you, I would think omega-3s with CoQ10 for anybody as they age, important for heart health and brain health. So that's a huge one that even if you eat fish, that I would say yes. You already said probiotics. 100% yes to probiotics, only from a daily digestion point of view. Can get it from food. You don't have to. You can supplement them. Other words I want people to look for, because sometimes when we hear new food words, we're like, is this hype, right? Are you just selling me this or this actual beneficial? Right. Is the word adaptogens. So these are plant substances. So they're available. Lots of mushrooms are pretty high in these. If you've heard of something called lion's mane, they help balance out chemical reactions in the body and reduce stress. So there's not a ton of research on it, but this is a all upside, no real risk. It's not like inundating yourself with some other supplements that are a little bit risky. This is just, okay, this is a plant-based substance that helps with antioxidants, with getting rid of those damaged cells. So adaptogens, a lot of them are in drinks right now, but I would definitely be like, oh, that's something that I could add into my diet. And the other one I'll say for runners especially, and as we get into the fall and I'm starting to feel a little bit run down, is zinc. So most of us do get a good amount of zinc in our diet, but when we are sick or picking up a bug, or if we before I travel, when I'm on flights, I take zinc daily. And I do think that it does make a difference because knock on wood, I went from Paris to home, to Cape Cod, to London, to back to Cleveland, Connecticut, Canada. Too many C words. My brain's not working because I haven't slept. And I didn't pick up a huge illness. And I think right. That's because I was doing the quercetin and the zinc in a higher dose. So what zinc is supposed to do is reduce how bad an infection is. So my point of bringing this up is that runners, when we do our long runs, we break down our bodies. We increase our risk for getting sick. So load up on the zinc before and after your long runs. But I have turned the corner on supplements. I did used to think they were expensive and a waste of money. But now the research is kind of seeing, as I get older too, I'm seeing they can actually fill in holes that help us, I don't want to say younger, but like maintain our energy and vitality.
Yeah, I think you brought up the point is determining which ones you need, because you can obviously, like anything, you can get 20 different things and take them, and you know only three of them maybe.
And you don't know. You really it's hard to tell. Like with the pillar and the magnesium, I think that's an easy one to be like, I see a difference. You can take omega-3s every day for the rest of your life, and you're never going to feel any different, and it's probably not going to show up on your lab work. But is it helping? We think science says yes. You know what I mean? So, but just be open-minded, I would say, folks. Like, keep an eye on research. Look at news stories. If you are hearing a buzzword, dig into it. See if that's an area you would like to kind of help yourself. Another area before we wrap is that mitochondrial function. As we age, if you want to dive into stuff, look at how to improve your mitochondrial function. Those are the energy producing parts of the cells, and we need energy to live and to listen to this podcast wherever you happen to be doing it. I'm happy to help you with your nutrition. You can go to GallowayCourse.com. That's where you'll find Healthier You. Use the code podcast, and then by the time this podcast comes out, we've either launched or we'll be a week away from launching the Runs Like Magic nutrition course. So I'll have details about that with Jamie Lee McIntyre, who was a dietitian that was on the podcast about a year ago.
We should also mention we have merchandise.
We have 3-2-1 go merch. Go to our Instagram. My husband has told me it's in the show notes. He says 3-2-1-go-10. We'll get you 10% off your 3-2-1-go merchandise. Tag us. We will love that. I've yet to see anyone in our merch. So please, if you're the first, you will get a shout out on the podcast.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Weston. Thank you, Johnny. Keep that back tight. Go Gators. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Travel safe and bye-bye.